الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دور الشيطان الله. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home. Majority of the lifetime of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was spent in the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. When Nabuwat was given to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, all of a sudden the attitude of the Meccans, the people of Makkah, changed completely. For 40 years, these were the same people who honored Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the title of being Muhammad al-Amin. The minute اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم was revealed, everything in Makkah al-Mukarramah changed. And that has been the case with all the prophets, Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Take for an example Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. He was born where? Where was Ibrahim alayhi salam born? Iraq, mashallah. We should be now very familiar with this one name of Iraq. Ibrahim alayhi salam was an Iraqi. Ibrahim alayhi salam was born in Iraq. And where was Musa alayhi salam born? In Egypt, mashallah. Ibrahim alayhi salam was born in Iraq to a father whose profession was that he was a carpenter. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam would see the father cut out from pieces of wood idols. And that was very difficult for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to take in. Again, the same pattern. In his youth, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was young, well respected and honored by the people and his community. But when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam started to question his own father, Ya abati lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru wa la yughni anka shay'a. Oh my dear father, how can you worship something that is blind, deaf, and that cannot help you from anything, any difficulty that comes to you? Ya Abati, oh my father, in Surah Maryam, La ta'budi shaytan, don't worship the shaytan. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam was very straightforward. And da'wat starts from the house first. That is why the very first verse, one of the first verses of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam revealed to him with regards to da'wat was وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Remind those who are closely related to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, give them da'wat first. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam started with the father. And we know the story. After a bit, let alone the community and the local people, even the own family members did not want to know Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he migrated, he was forced to leave that part of the area where he came from, Iraq, and he went to Philistine and later on to Egypt. But this has been the pattern with every single Nabi. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu was salam, Rabbi inni da'autu qawmi layla wa nahara, falam yazidhum du'ai illa firara. Incredible two rukus of the Quran about Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu was salam. Continuously, again, family members and even the story of his son is mentioned in the Quran. Here, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said to the people of Makkah, that I am a Nabi, everything changed. Now, Makkah was a city completely different from other cities in the Arabian Peninsula. Very, very famous, very cosmopolitan. Cosmopolitan in a sense that you had different merchants and traders coming from all over Arabia in the city of Makkah. In Makkah, you had three souks, and souk means bazaar. Iski jama aswaq aati hai Arabi mein, bazaar. Annually, in the open area, all the traders would gather and they would buy and sell. Majority of the people of Makkah, in Makkah, the city itself did not produce anything. Everything was imported. Majority of the traders would go to Syria, or some of them would go to Yemen. And Yemen in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very, very modern city. Very fertile land. And the Yemenis would go to India and get Indian goods and come back to Yemen and sell it to the people of Makkah. That is why the Indian swords were very, very famous. Hindustan ka talwar. And anything, any goods that came from India was a mark of great quality at that time. Abhi to ho na ho, wallahu alam. And that is how, I was always wondering how the word Hind crept into the Arabic language. Always bothered me personally. How can Hind be an Arabic word? Because when you study the Arabic grammar, you'll find Amr, Bakr, Hind said this, Hind. The word Hind is always there. And Hind is of Hindustan, Hind ki rehne wali. Or Hind. And the word Hind comes in from the Yemeni traders who would go to India, and when they would come back with goods, they regarded anything that came from India as a mark of quality, and they loved Indian products to such an extent that some of them even started naming their children as Hind. So that's where you get this word Hind in the Arabic language. And some of them went to Syria, Sham. Even today, if you've been to Syria, in Sham, in Damascus, you will see business there also. And this was even in the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So all of the people would meet up in the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah in Suqul Uqaz, one great bazaar, and even Al-Majannah, that was a bazaar, and also Zawil Majaz, that was also another bazaar. So all these traders would come, and after buying and selling, what they would do is to pay thanks to the Kaaba and the idols that were there. They would do tawaf of the Kaaba. They would even come with their own idols, and every time they would travel, they would have one idol with them, a pocket idol, and that was like a good omen. That was that if they travel with this, they will prosper and they will make good business in the city of Makkah. So after business was completed, they would come and they would make tawaf of the Kaaba and thank all the, al-iyazu billah, the idols that were inside the Kaaba. And that is why it's very important as Muslims we study the seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That period of time when Nabuwat was given to him, until Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat to Madinatul Munawwara, with all the difficulty, all the difficulty in Makkah al-Mukarramah. When you look at Makkah al-Mukarramah, it is locked up. There is this enclosure. No one has even bothered to conquer that part of the region. Alexander the Great came as far as the tip of the desert. And when he looked at the desert, he just turned away. He says, what do I want to conquer this desert which is full of mountains? And he just turned away, his army turned away. Wallahu alam, but when you look at the books of history, it seems that the only man who came with an army in the Arabian Peninsula was Abraha with his elephants. No other king, no one else came. Everyone turned away, and the ulama say that again is the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to be born in that desert in the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. Nobody conquered that part of the region. Subhanallah. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would carry out his mission in the midst of aggression and difficulty that was there from the Qurayshi people. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried out his mission. And this in itself is a miracle of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam's da'wat was not only to the locals, the people who lived in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Now Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even gave da'wat to the traders who came from outside Makkah, and at any opportunity given to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, with hikmat and with wisdom, Abu sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go to them and invite them towards deen, towards Islam. When Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Walid bin Mughira saw this, that now Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam is inviting the traders, and some of them were leaders of the tribe. Rich people had a lot of influence in the tribe, and they would come and they would listen to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, this emergency meeting took place straight away. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Walid bin Mughira, and they made mashwira that what should we do if the foreigners, non-Meccan Arabs, come and listen to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That will mean that in the middle, the mushrikeen will be left all isolated, whilst the other parts of the Arabian Peninsula would have embraced Islam. And this was a difficulty for the Qurayshi people. Mashwira was done, and from Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, the one, well, he was a kafir, but who was supposed to be clever from the three, was Walid bin Mughira. And Walid bin Mughira was always selected as an amir. Walid bin Mughira was there with a group of people, and they said, what should we do? We either stop Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from giving da'wat to the people, or stop people from paying attention to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the mashwira started, and some of them said that no, what we should do is we should continue with the propaganda. And this propaganda war starts from the time of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said that we should accuse Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, false allegation that he claims to be a god and he is forcing people to worship him, al-iyazu billah. Claims of divinity. Khud Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ka ye aalan. So that when people understand what Huzur alayhi salatu was salam has said according to them, they will turn away from him. Walid bin Mughira was a clever man, and he said, no, this will not work. Why? Because there is no proof of ever Huzur alayhi salatu was salam saying this. No proof at all. Another group of people said, then let us accuse him of being al-iyazu billah, a majnoon, a madman, or someone who is possessed, that he is in connection with a jinn, and all the knowledge that comes to him is from a jinn, and the jinn is with him. Walid bin Mughira again said to the people that there are no symptoms of a madman or someone who is insane or possessed in this man, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third and the final option for the people was to accuse Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam of being a great magician, a sahir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَا تُبْصِرُونَ وَمَا لَا تُبْصِرُونَ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. This, the Quran is not poetry. قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنٍ. Aliyazu billah, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not receive information from a fortune teller. And the fortune tellers were all connected with the jinn. وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنٍ قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ تَنْزِيلٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. It is a wahi, a revelation sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Waleed bin Mughaira listened to them and he said that we can't even accuse Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be a magician. Why? Because he does not practice the common tricks what the magicians do in the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, what they practice. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not perform any of those tricks. So it would be difficult to convince the people that he is also a magician. Again, Waleed bin Mughaira was such a clever man. He said, we should accuse him of being a magician and that he does magic with his speech, with the eloquence that is given to him. Yani zaban ki zariye se, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jadu karte hai. With his speech, there is so much power in the tongue of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that whoever listens to what Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam says, a spell will be cast on him and he will be overpowered and he will surrender to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the propaganda should be that no one should even listen to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most powerful miracle, mu'ajizah that was given to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Quran. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite in front of them the Quran. This was the propaganda in the face of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions. So everyone who came and entered the city of Makkah, there were groups of people warning them that you come for business, whatever you do, buying and selling, that is fine. But don't come close to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Qurayshi young man, and don't come close to the followers of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were warned straight away. And some of them even, al-iyazu billah, the propaganda there was this young man whose name was Jabir, and he was a practicing Christian, and he had knowledge of the scriptures. By birth, he was a Persian. Rumi nahi the. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith has said that I don't fear the Persians upon my ummah. I fear Banul Asfar upon the ummah. Banul Asfar are the Rumi people or the Europeans. Who are them? The Europeans. Banul Asfar. The Europeans, the Rumi people. Al-Islam min ghulibati Rum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Rumi people. And Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the Banu al-Asfar will always attack the Muslims. And they will attack the Muslims in such a way that even if they were destroyed in any way, they will come back very, very quickly and retaliate and go against the Muslims for the second and for the third time. The companion said to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, how long will this continue for? Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, until the day of Qiyamah.
Allah.
And this is what we witness today. Just for an example I put forward to the brothers here. Take for an example the World War that took place. Germany was completely crushed. See? Completely bombarded, completely out, wiped out. But look at the Germans today. Again, very, very quickly, the Europeans, this is what Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam says. I don't fear about the Persians, but I fear of Banul Asfar. The Rumi people, and the Rumi people were the Europeans. And I fear of them, and look at the Germans today. They are again very, very powerful. The economy of Germany is very, very strong. They have an army, and the Europeans are generally strong. This is the Peshin Goi, the foretelling of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah al-azim, they said that anybody who comes to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and will listen to him, this will mean that he is under the spell of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they stopped him, and there was this young man whose name was Jabr, who was a Christian from Persia. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would often meet him. He lived in the area where Marwa is today, Safa and Marwa. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would meet him with the intention that he might become a Muslim. So every time Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stop and explain to him about Tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What the Qurayshi kuffar did when they saw Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frequently meeting this man whose name was Jabr, they said that, alayyazu billah, all of the knowledge that is given to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given to him by this Christian friend whose name is Jabr. And a verse of the Quran was revealed to Huzur alayhi salatu was salam, where Allah says that we have heard them saying that a man has taught you the Quran. When the Quran is in pure, clear Arabic language, and he is Ajami, a non-Arab. Ajami wa Arabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, can something that is Ajami, can that be the same as something that is Arabi? Ajami wa Arabi. And that man spoke Farsi, Persian. And Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke fluent Arabic. So how could he give, alayyaz billah, any form of knowledge, anything to Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? On the contrary, he was being benefited by Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why in Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyya. We have revealed to you the Qur'an in the Arabic language, la'allakum ta'akilun, so that you can understand. Subhanallah. This is the mu'ajiza again of this language. But what we have to see here again is that with all the aggression, with all the propaganda that was there to stop people from meeting Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it had an adverse effect. The more they tightened the noose, the more people became Muslims. And this is what we have to understand today. The more the propaganda today, the Muslims are this, the Muslims are that, the Muslims are this, the Muslims are that. Subhanallah, we see that the doors of Hidayat are opening up for everyone. More and more people are becoming Muslims. More and more people now want to understand the seerah and biography of who Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam is. More and more people stop us on the road and they talk to us about Islam. MashaAllah. And I mentioned that last week also. A man stopped me and he looked at me, and I won't go through that again, but just 10 minutes standing with him and talking to him about Islam, and he said to me, really nobody has spoken to me in this level of understanding of Islam. And shariat ke saath saath siyasat, even politics, explained to him that no, Muslims are not terrorists, Muslims are peaceful people, and you have to understand that. And if we take time out, MashaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it in their hearts. So in the time of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, the kuffar, the Qurayshi people wanted to block Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam completely. But subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the roads of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. It is said once a group of 20 Christians came to visit Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. And they were selected from their own tribes, a delegation of 20 people. They came on a fact-finding mission of who Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam really was. Now the news had spread all over Arabia and outside Arabia. There is a man who says that he is a Rasul after Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So a lot of people came to Arabia to see who Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was. And 20 people came. And in one majlis, in one sitting, Abu sallallahu alayhi wasalam sat with them, and Abu sallallahu alayhi wasalam opened up the Quran in front of them. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wasalam recited the Quran in front of them. Imagine the qira'at of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. If we can cry when we hear the recitation of the great qurra of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then what about the qira'at of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Abu sallallahu alayhi wasalam read Quran in front of them, all 20 of them became Muslims. Sare 20 ke 20 sare musalman ho gaye. And when the Kuffar, the Qurayshi people, found out that the 20 who came, Christians, have become Muslim, and they were on a fact-finding mission, and when they were returning back, the Qurayshi people surrounded them and said to them, "What kind of people are you? We have stayed with this man Muhammad, aliyazu billah, in a disrespectful way, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for years and years, and we know what he preaches is not right, it is false, that he is an imposter, aliyazu billah, and you have sat with him for a few minutes and you have become a Muslim. Don't you think you have to rethink and take the right course? Do you think this is Sirat-e Mustaqim, the right path?" And again, 20 of them, in front of them, again, renewed the Shahada and walked away from them. And they said, "La ilaha illallah." Every time they wanted to block someone from Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, they could not stop that. And the most famous poet of Arabia at that time, whose name was Tufail ad-Dawsi. Tufail ad-Dawsi, most famous. And the poets had a lot of power in the Arab world. The poets were feared. They had a lot of power. When news broke out that Tufail ad-Dawsi is to arrive in the city of Makkah, all the Qurayshi people gathered there for Tufail ad-Dawsi to come in the city of Makkah. And when he came, they greeted him and they said to him, "Tufail, there is this man who produces incredible poetry in the Arabic language." And they were referring to the Quran. "Our advice to you is not to listen to what he says to you. Our advice to you is that if he walks in front of you, turn away from him. Don't listen to him. Why? For he is a magician, and in his speech there is sihr, there is jadu, there is magic." And they got this man, who was a famous poet of Arabia, so scared that every time Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to walk in one direction, Tufail ad-Dawsi would turn away. कौन आपको कोई कहे कि फला आदमी के अंदर जिन्नात है तो आप उसके साथ अकेले में मस्जिद में बैठेंगे, भाग जाएंगे भाई. This was all propaganda, liyazu billah. Until one day Tufail ad-Dawsi had the opportunity to set his eyes upon Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, beautiful face. बस एक मर्तबा जो चेहरा देख लिया, खत्म हो गई बात. And he came in front of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, and the Arabs were there, the mushrikeen, watching Tufail ad-Dawsi go to Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, and he sat in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here, the most famous poet of Arabia, and his poetry was so famous that they would hang his poetry on the wall of Kaaba, Tufail ad-Dawsi. And Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat in front of him also, and invited him to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards Tawheed. And Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam again recited the Quran, because he was a poet. When he heard the Quran, he was so touched. He stood up and he said to the people of Makkah that, "I am a sha'ir, and I say to you that what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, it is not sha'iri, it is not poetry, it is wahi, it is revelation, and all of you should surrender to him." It was a big blow for the people of Makkah. One by one, everyone was becoming the khadim of Rasulullah. One by one, one by one, one by one. Inshallah ta'ala, this will continue until the day of Qiyamah. And when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come, every individual will be a Muslim, insha'Allah ta'ala. And the effect of the Qur'an, the power of the Qur'an was such, when they saw that groups and groups of people were becoming Muslim, Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, and Akhnas bin Shurayk, these were leaders. The most antagonistic type of people who did not want to listen to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. Until in the night, one day Abu Jahl was sleeping and he was wondering that I should go and listen to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, what he is saying. And the same thought came into the mind of Abu Sufyan and Akhnas bin Shurayk, and how Allah plans. And how Allah plans. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he went to the city and he saw people were worshipping the stars. That's why the best astronomers in the world were Muslims. Why they were not scared to study the stars and the moon? Whilst the other pagan world would take them as deities. And so it was an act of great abomination to study the stars. Khuda ka bhi mutala kiya jaye? So they would not study. And Muslims were there, mashallah, in the field of science, studying the star and the moon and everything. Ibrahim alayhi salam was walking there, falamma janna alayhi al-layl, and it was night, ra'a kawkaba, he saw the stars, and he said to the people, let me accept what you say for a moment and believe you that the stars are, you know, gods that you worship. Falamma afala, qala la uhibbu al-afilin. Beautiful logic. Put yourself back in the time of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Clean logic, simple words. Jab sitare ghuroob ho gaye, qul la uhibbu al-afilin. Ibrahim alayhi salam became disappointed. This is what kind of a God is this? That he comes after a certain period of time and he goes away and he comes and he goes away. And after a bit he went to another group of people. And in that tribe they were worshipping the moon. And the Americans think that they've been in the moon. Have they really been on the moon? Ho sakta hai mere azizo. It's incredible. I mean, some of the stage act that they can do. Moon ke upar jana koi aasan kaam hai mere azizo. Is it like going from here to the other part of the world? Hargiz nahi. People even feared. People fear today to travel in some parts of the world, like in the desert if you don't have the right guide. Even to cross the oceans. Or moon ke upar gaye. Wallahu alam. The Quran is silent about this. But there is a big question mark. And here Ibrahim alayhi salam saw them worshipping the moon. And what did he say? قَالَ لَإِنْ لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الضَّالِينَ. If my Lord did not guide me, then I would be from those who were made to go astray. And finally, how Ibrahim alayhi salam guided the people when he saw the sun, dazzling sun, and he says, this is my Lord, the biggest Lord. هَذَا رَبِّي هَذَا أَكْبَرُ. فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِي. And he said to the people, oh my people, إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. I am free from the shirk that you do. Subhanallah. This was how the prophets worked with the community in their time, in simple words, simple words. Kabhi kabhi bahut daqeeq baaton ki zarurat nahi hoti hai. Kabhi kabhi saade alfaz se operation ho jata hai. Saade alfaz. Dil ka operation ho jata hai. Subhanallah. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there explaining to the people. The 20 Christians became Muslim. At-Tufail al-Dawsi became Muslim. Abu Jahl is sleeping in the night and he's restless. And he wakes up in the night slowly in a very discreet way. Comes close to the hujra of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and finds one corner. And they knew exactly the tarteeb and the timing of Huzur alayhi salam. Abu Bakr Siddiq would wake up in the night and recite the Qur'an, as Umar Farooq would wake up and recite the Qur'an, and so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wake up. They were so overwhelmed by the situation that they had no choice but to listen to the Qur'an. Abu Jahl was there, taken one corner of the hujra of Huzur alayhi salam. Akhnas bin Shuraib comes again in the night, takes another corner, and Abu Sufyan comes on the other corner. None of them know that they are there, each of them are there. None of them. Kisi ko kisi ka ilm nahi. And all of them listen to the Quran of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam. And when dawn breaks slowly, very quietly again, first Abu Jahl goes, Akhnas bin Shuraib goes, Abu Sufyan goes, and subhanAllah, all of them meet together. And they were ashamed. And no excuses when they looked at each other. And they confessed the truth that yes, I just went to listen to Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam and to listen to what he preaches to the people, that's all. Abu Jahl got very angry, he was the strongest of them all. He says, now next time if any of you go, you better be careful. Khud gaya, uska koi. And Akhnas bin Shuraib goes, haan ji koi. Tomorrow we won't go. Again tomorrow, the next day when they are sleeping, each of them think that, oh, who will dare to go again for the second time? Thinking that, all three of them decide to go. Again take the same spot, listen to the Quran for the second time. Allah ki kudrat, Allah does not guide them except for Abu Sufyan, who later on in Fatih Makkah becomes a Muslim, radiallahu ta'ala an. And for the second time they meet, all of them. This is the power of the Qur'an, and we still have the Qur'an, alhamdulillah, with us. That is why I say that a great lesson for us to be learned is from the period of Nabuwat until migration. Ab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's method of da'wat was only to explain to them the Qur'an, the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, if we do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the doors of hidayat, and you will see the non-Muslims enter into Islam. And the second time when they meet each other again, they promise never to do that again. And they say, what we did for the second time is very, very wrong. And imagine what would happen if the youth, if the Qurayshi young ones find out that the leaders are going to listen to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran. What would happen? Abu Jahl warned them again. Allah ki shan, teesri raat hui, tab bhi betab. They had no choice, but once they knew the Arabic language, and to listen to the Quran was something else for them. For the third time continuously, all of them again go very, very quietly. This time they are very, very careful. Allah ki kudrat, third time again at Fajr time when they go back, all three of them meet. And they just stayed quiet. They looked at each other and did not say utter a word, and they went back. That is why once Akhnas bin Shuraiq said to Abu Jahl, "Oh Abu Jahl, look, no one is here. Tell me, what is your opinion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who he says to be, who he claims to be a prophet? Is he a prophet, or liyazu billah, is he an imposter? Or a kazib, jutha, a liar, aliyazu billah." Abu Jahl looked around, and Akhnas bin Shuraiq was very close to Abu Jahl, and they were good friends. And he said regarding Huzur alayhi salam, "Wallahi ya Akhnas, in the name of Allah, O Akhnas, listen to me. Inna Muhammadan la sadiqun. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most truthful." But subhanAllah, Allah gives hidayat to whom he wills, and Allah gave hidayah to Abu Sufyan. This was the power and the mu'jiza given to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, the Quran, the greatest miracle given to him. And a lot of the ayats were revealed in the city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, and we have this mu'jiza with us. It is our fundamental duty that we study the Quran and we spread the message of the Quran and the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-'afwa wal 'afiyata fid dunya wal akhirah. Ya Allah, ya Rahman, ya Rahim, ya Allah, hamare gunahon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, hamare gunahon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, hamare gunahon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, hame taufeeq de de Shaaban ke mahine mein, ya Allah, hum teri khoob ibadat kare. Ya Allah, itni zindagi bhi de, ya Allah, ke ہم رمضان کا مہینہ دیکھ سکے. یا اللہ رمضان کے مہینے کی ہم قدر کرے. یا اللہ زندگی کے جتنے دن ہیں یا اللہ ہم اس کی قدر کرے. یا اللہ صغیرہ گناہ کبیرہ گناہ جتنے بھی گناہ کیے ہیں اللہ ہم اس کی معافی مانگتے ہیں, توبہ کرتے ہیں. یا اللہ تجھی سے توبہ کرتے ہیں. یا اللہ تو ہی رحم کرنے والا ہے, مغفرت کرنے والا ہے. یا اللہ تو ہمیں معاف فرما دے. یا اللہ تو ہمیں معاف فرما دے. یا اللہ ہدایت کا دروازہ کھول دے اس ملک میں. یا اللہ ہدایت کا دروازہ کھول دے اس ملک میں, یوروپ میں. مسلمان جہاں کہیں بھی پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما. عراق کے مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما, شیشان کے مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما, فلسطین کے مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما, ہندوستان کے مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما, پاکستان کے مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما, بوسنیا کے مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما, جہاں کہیں افریقہ کے اندر مسلمان جس جگہ میں ہو جہاں بھی ہو مسلمان ان کی حفاظت فرما. یا اللہ مسلمان کی مدد فرما. مسلمانوں کے اوپر بہت زیادہ ظلم ہوا ہے. یا اللہ تو رحم فرما, کرم فرما. تیرے لیے کوئی مشکل کام نہیں ہے. یا اللہ تو کن فیکون کا مالک ہے, جو تو چاہے. یا اللہ تو مختار ہے. یا اللہ تو ہماری مدد فرما. یا اللہ تو ہماری مدد فرما. اس مجلس میں کوئی بیمار ہو یا اللہ ان کو شفا دے. مستورات میں کوئی بیمار ہو یا اللہ ان کو شفا دے. ہمارے عزیز و اقارب میں سے جن کا انتقال ہو گیا ہو یا اللہ ان کی مغفرت فرما, ان کے درجات کو بلند فرما. ہاسپٹل میں جو بیمار ہیں ان کو شفا دے. جن لوگوں نے کہا ہے دعاؤں میں یاد رکھنے کے لیے, اللہ ان کی جائز تمنا کو پورا فرما. سبحان اللہ وبحمدہ سبحان اللہ العظیم, وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وازواجہ وذریاتہ واہل بیتہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین.